welcome to Misdun Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Here we are again. Another recording.
How's
it going?
Oh, it's good. Have you been?
Pretty good. Had a very eventful weekend.
Tell me about it.
So, went to New York. That was fun. The Big Apple. The big city. Saw a comedy show. Saw a lot of friends. Went to a bunch of different places. So, actually, this was my first time bopping around Brooklyn. And it's pretty nice. Or at least there's a lot of, you know, nice, quaint little spots there. And that seemed to be the adjective of the weekend. We kept saying things were quaint and kind of joked about that. But, you know, it was quite quaint.
I didn't realize that New York could be quaint. I thought everything was hustle and bustle there. I didn't think New York had time to be quaint.
That is, I would say, the general vibe. But a lot of Brooklyn, I would honestly compare Brooklyn a lot more to, like, some Chicago suburbs. And the Manhattan is, like, a big downtown. That's just kind of the vibe. And from personal experience that I get.
I would describe the place where I'm at in Chicago does have quaint places. So, yeah, I could totally see that. I haven't really been to Brooklyn or New York that much. So I guess I really couldn't describe it. I only know it based on the TV shows like Law and Order. It seems really seedy in my opinion.
It's every single day is exactly like an episode of Law and Order. SVU specifically, you know, just it's terrible all around. I actually, this is, I don't know if this is a podcast appropriate, but we did actually see a fight right outside of our Airbnb. It wasn't like terrible. It was just kind of, you know.
Well, yeah, people fight all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually watching an episode of Law and Order because there's a friend of my partner's who's actually in the latest one. It's Law and Order. It's Law and Order, like, criminal organized crime division.
Oh, it's Stabler in it.
Is he the guy that who's Stabler?
Yeah, bald guy. Actor is Elliot.
Yeah.
No,
he's...
wait. No. The guy, Chris.
Yeah, it's that guy. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, it's
gotcha.
That
perfect,
guy,
perfect.
And he's undercover. You learn that. So we're watching season two, and the point that I'm trying to get to is that it's in Brooklyn. The setting is Brooklyn, but there was a point where the character, or whatever the main character, Stabler, he's undercover, and he's working with, like, the crime bosses to get on their good side. And at one point, the crime bosses were like, we're going to go hit this other crime lord. And they're arming up all their men. And then they give Stabler, it's like, you want to prove your loyalty, like, you're going to use this. And he gives him a bazooka. Like, he gives him, like, legit rocket launcher. And it's like, you guys are in Brooklyn. Like, when was the last time you heard a rocket launch go off in Brooklyn? Like, when does that ever happen? So that's what I imagine, is that everyone's got a rocket launcher, and they're all ready to use it against warring drug lords.
Yeah, things just blow up all the time.
Just constantly.
It's absolutely wild. Uber drivers have bazookas, or I guess anti-bazookas. They have anti-aircraft missiles in the top of the top of the cars that fire off, and it lures it away. It's absolutely bonkers over there.
It's wild. Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds wild. That's just basically all I know about New York, is that everyone's got a rocket launcher, it seems, or they at least are easy to come by, because this guy just handed one to a complete stranger like it was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one truth to entertainment, is that TV perfectly mirrors reality.
Oh yeah,
and that, or at least that's my perception of the world.
All forms of media represent reality pretty well.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, look at Twitter. We're doing great stuff over there.
Mm-hmm. Everything on Twitter is real and true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, except when someone else calls someone else a liar or says that it's not true, then that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just rules.
Then you're at a kind of a standstill. Seeing who's, like, the standoff of who's real and who's not.
It's like Schrodinger's tweet. Oh. You can't prove that the tweet is real unless you open it up and research it.
Mm, but nobody's got time for that.
Nobody's got time for that. So it's always true.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work. Too much research. Read an article past the headline. It's a bit too much for me.
Hey, you want to know where you should stop reading Twitter? Is at PatchPotchR&D. That's the only Twitter feed you need.
It's true. That's a lot of
a not so subtle plug.
Well, you know, it was going to get plugged at some point. You know, might as well start early.
That's true. All right. You wanna hop in and suppose, at least speaking of R&D, hop in, see what we got. Any suggestions, any ideas and such?
I do have one, and this isn't coming from R&D. This is a DJ original that I've got on my mind. All
right.
I was recently, within the past week or within the past time that we were recording, I was stuck in the bathroom. And by what I mean stuck in the bathroom, I mean I was in the bathroom without my phone. So I did what...
A modern day, a modern day saw at that point, basically.
Yeah, I was ready to chop my legs off to get my phone again. Jeez Louise.
Lift the toilet from the ground and bring it to the other room.
There was a dead guy just chilling in the corner, and it turns out he was alive the whole time, and he had my phone. That was the twist of the bathroom. So anyways, I was stuck in the bathroom, and I did what anyone naturally does without their phone, was grab the first shampoo bottle and start reading it. I was thinking of a game of... It'd be a game much like any sort of economy-based game where you have a lot of different sort of resources. And I was thinking that this one would be, like, huge. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the games that are, like... The maps of it are just, like, gigantic, and, like, there's so many different things that you can do in it within it, because there's, like, the economy is just massive, and it takes, like, multiple hours to play.
Yeah, do you mean almost like a Warhammer-type game, where you're, like... I mean, Warhammer is obviously more strategic
and tactical, more combat.
And warring, but are you talking about, like, in terms of size, that it'd be on, like, you know, a big table kind of spread out with miniatures and everything?
That is exactly it. I'm thinking of one game in specific where I used to go to a board game night, and there was a group of people that would play the same game over for like over the course of like literally 5 hours. And it had to do with space, and there was a lion on the front of the box. The box was literally as big as like a 50-inch TV itself. But
I actually think I've seen this game. I know what you're talking about. I can't say I know the name, but
I don't know the name either. If you know the name and you're listening to this, please tweet at us and tell us what the game is. Because all I know is that it is the main feature on the box is a giant space lion face that is kind of front and center. Anyways, okay, so back to the shampoo. I was thinking we make a game of that size and scale, except the resources are the crazy like chemicals that are on the ingredients for the shampoo bottles, and then the other aspect would be to try to get your shampoo onto as many billboards as possible and shelves, like, you know, how you see billboards, at least in the Midwest, you know, that are all full of, like, the regrow your hair kind of stuff.
Yeah,
just, like,
okay.
Completely take over. So there's, like, aspects of, like, marketing, aspects of getting it on the shelf space, aspects of harvesting the chemicals that go into, like, the wacky chemicals that go into, like, a shampoo that nobody can pronounce. And that's what I thought of while on the toilet.
This is getting into some of the nitty-gritty. I think this is it. I think this is what we do this episode, because I've already got some ideas cooking.
Perfect, because that's as far as I got.
Perfect. Jumping into some nitty-gritty right away. Now, you say all the wacky chemicals and stuff like that, but I know that there are shampoos that boast au naturel and such, you know, with your coconut oils and your almond oils and your various oils that are apparently good for your hair. Is that going to be a possibility in the game? Can you go a more natural route where, you know, you're, I guess, kind of making this poultice?
I'm going to say yes. Yeah. I'm going to say yes, that I want this to be a huge shampoo, like, tycoon game where you have multiple different routes to getting your shampoo at the top. I was mostly just pointing out like you could go like as many GMO chemical stuff in there, even though GMO is not the right term for shampoo, but you know what I'm saying. Just like, you, if you want to harvest as many of those weird things and throw them into your shampoo, like, go for it. Or if you want to try to go like the more holistic route and like, you know, put your shampoos in a Whole Foods or something like that, like you could definitely do that as well. Obviously, you know, trying to flesh out like pros and cons for each one, there would be differences in play style, but you know, I wanted this to be more so like, it's like you gotta make the shampoo in any way that you can, and maybe it's like a combination of chemicals, and then from there you gotta like market it and have certain like have like a turf war in terms of like advertising space where you can throw up your annoying billboards as many places as possible, and then on top of that also putting them in the stores. Like those are the three main aspects that I could think of. But yes, right, definitely go all natural if you wanted to. It's just different resources.
Yeah. Can I throw out some ideas of how that would work mechanically?
Yes, please.
And how, like, okay. So, yeah, I love all the steps. First, I guess, like, kind of, like, first step. And I guess, I mean, okay, now that I'm thinking about it, you can kind of do them in whatever order. But first things first, obviously, like you said, is getting your ingredients, making your product.
Yeah.
Then I think on top of that, yeah, or at least another thing, if we're adding economies on economies on economies in this game, the next step would be your bottle, your physical product, what you're making. I mean, yeah, you can have different shapes, you can have different colors, you can have different words, you can call it different things and such, blah, blah, blah. Then the advertising, like you said. Then I think there should be physical marketplaces, so to speak. Like maybe, yeah, you're more like mom and pop kind of corner store or whatever that maybe will only take so much supply, but those are kind of the, you know, quote unquote easier locations to get into. But then you've also got your big superstores where you have to have so much product in order to even get in there. But if you do, then obviously it's a much larger market for you to get to. So like maybe that's more like end game, who's in the big markets and which markets. And then last little mechanic, like, or at least a good way to kind of dictate what you're going to go for. I think every market changes every game. So let's say like the mom and pop store, you know, you like flip a tile or a tile goes to each different location. And let's say the mom and pop store for this, you know, game that we're playing or this round that we're playing, has the, I guess, consumer attributes of wanting a more chemical infused one. They just want something cheap and easy or whatever, but then your big superstore wants your more holistic stuff. So depending on what avenue you want to go, that way, you know, it can kind of feel like, okay, hey, like I see, you know, DJ, my opponent, is going for the more holistic stuff to probably try to rush that smaller market, so I'm gonna gather all of these complex or the end game one, so I'm gonna grab all the complex chemicals to rush the smaller one and try to, you know, beat you that way, or at least just kind of giving people various strategies to make their shampoos.
Yeah, no, that's I totally see that. I think, okay, so going back to sort of the bottle shape aspect of it, because I do like that, where you can have like, because like you think about like a Coke bottle, like there's a patent on that where no one else can make that kind of thing. I think we should also, you kind of opened up the idea to, everyone's got maybe more than just one shampoo, and you can actually be like a total beauty brand. Like shampoo's the focus of it. So like you would need to, for every single bottle that you have, or if you want to release a new shampoo, like, yeah, you can go the cheap and easy route for your first one, but that's only going to make you so much money. Then you want to maybe get into the premium game. You got to make a whole new bottle and patent that whole new thing. And then maybe for every single model that you have, like no one else can use that one.
And then maybe your markets change, so when you make your cheap and easy, quick, you know, chemical one or whatever, the consumers change location, and then you have to get your shampoo or your new shampoo or your old one, whichever you want to do. Again, just another facet of this. Now we're looking at more like logistics and shipping and such, but you know, getting your product in line with the locations that you want it to be, and weighing that against also focusing resources on creating your, you know, big shampoo that's going to go on the big shelves.
Yeah. Well, and I'm also even thinking of like, at least in the neighborhood that, or in like Chicago that I'm in, there's like specific neighborhoods that have like certain types of people that would prefer different kinds of shampoos over other ones. Like,
right.
I'm not going to name this neighborhood by name, but if you live in Chicago, you know it. There's like a neighborhood that's full of like moms jogging with like strollers, like stroller jogging moms and stuff like that. And also like they'll go into like Whole Foods and like immediately go to the health section and start badgering the Whole Foods person like what's going to be the best treatment for whatever disease they have, even though they should be going to a doctor. So I am thinking like not just, you know, there's not just like shops that you can put the stuff in, but there's also neighborhoods that will prefer different kinds of brands. So there could be like the mom and pop shop in the yuppie neighborhood that you could also put like the cheap and easy one in there, but even that neighborhood's still gonna want the high end premium thing as just like a basis because that's just like the market in there. And
I like that.
You can then vary like every single time that you play the game, you can have the neighborhoods kind of switch around in terms of what their preferences are. Like, I don't know, yeah, maybe one neighborhood really prefers they want something that's a 3-in-1. So now you gotta make you gotta find a shampoo that's also a body wash and a conditioner.
Oh man.
The trifecta.
4-in-1. Shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste.
Toothpaste. That's the final level of all this stuff. Is if we can get into our mouths.
Your whole head will be minty fresh.
When you're doing your whole wash, you actually just open your mouth and you just like just
squirt it.
You
right
just
in.
Like rub it on your teeth and then you like just stick your face up towards the shower and then spit it out.
It like lathers up in your teeth.
Imagine the new product is like a biker helmet and you just like put the soap inside and then you just put this
and
biker
it just
helmet.
Blasts you.
Yeah, it just like blasts this entire thing just all around your face. That is the true coup de grace to facial cleansing.
Oh boy!
All
right, so do we want to start on some, you know, like mechanics and like what like a round, I guess, looks like, and in what like a player's turn looks like?
Yeah, sure. Or, that sounds like a good place to go.
I was gonna say I just think we have enough kind of. We got enough structure, we got enough bones and stuff, so let's start throwing some meat on these bones.
I agree. Let's get these ribs looking tasty.
Yeah, this shampoo person looking nice and lathered.
Lathered, I think, is the right way. Sudsy.
Yeah. Sudsy. Nice and sudsy. Oh, that'll be like a little mascot there. Sudsy.
Sudsy. Ooh, yeah. Sudsy, the shampoo bottle. That's another avenue. Look, I want this game to be massive. If you want a mascot for it, like, for sure, throw a mascot on your bottle, but that's some more time in the marketing.
But, I mean, again, then you can have, like, a costumed character show up to stores and or even, like, a cardboard cutout with your product standing there.
I like the idea of, you know, there's costume characters. Like, there's a Tony the Tiger costume character out there, I'm sure, who goes to some events. But I like the idea of a shampoo costume character. Like, look, it's the guy on the shampoo bottle. Like, what's up? It's that L'Oreal Kids fish person.
And the best part is that there's actual shampoo in the costume. So yeah, if you want some, you just like kind of squeeze them.
You give them a hug, yeah, and then you're clean.
Aw, Sudsy.
Sudsy.
Thanks.
Thank you. I was feeling stinky today.
I was stinky, and now I'm minty fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's get to a turn. Let's get to some rounds here.
So. This is honestly, I think, kind of a big question in terms of just the, I mean, you know, style and mechanics of the game. Are dice involved at all?
I'm gonna say at some.
Okay,
point.
That's totally fine. My only argument of not putting dice in is that this game, I mean, maybe there is some kind of randomness element that does kind of dictate it, but I feel like this game is so focused on your strategy, your implementation, and like obviously tons of mechanics already, that it's mostly about how you play it and stuff. And it would, to me, it would be kind of a, you know, bummer if you're doing this, all this planning and stuff like that, and it comes down to like a dice roll and then your opponent beats you just because they got luckier.
I agree. Yeah, it should be. I mean, I do understand having the big mechanic base of, you know, planning something out and having it going according to the plan that you had wanted it to go. And throwing luck in there
How about this?
I'm open to some dice, but it doesn't need to be on the forefront. If we think of something that does, that should include a dice roll, just because as a way, that's an easy way to resolve something. We can throw that in, but that doesn't have to be a main mechanic. It's not like Monopoly where you have to roll the dice every single turn. I'm gonna say that you could go some turns. Maybe if you want to make like a big move, you can roll a dice
to replicate marketing and stuff. You don't know 100% if your gambit is gonna pay off, but you gotta roll the dice to figure out if it will.
Businesses, it's a lot of dice rolling, metaphorically and physically. So
how about like setup, or I guess the first stage, quite literally the research and development of your shampoo product is the harvesting of things. You can like set up and buy a factory. I'm assuming that there's going to be some kind of just natural passive income per turn to even start the game that everyone has, and then once you start putting your product out, you make more income per round. So like, let's just even give it like a generic, like you get like 2 coins per turn just passively, but then depending on what product you put out, where it is, all these different things, you could get more coins to then obviously spend per turn.
I think that's a good sort of jumping off point. There's gonna be some sort of passive income. I think everyone should start off with like some sort of, you know, there's some sort of headquarters everywhere, and it doesn't have to be physically put on the map for wherever their headquarters are at, but like headquarters that does allow you to do things like you've got a little chemical factory in there, which is where you can harvest or buy new things to harvest what other chemicals are out there or something like that. And each one of these facets you can like put more money into to like upgrade more or less.
How about this? Because I think that this would actually be a good way to have your choices, you know, be the strategy of what you're doing, and have at least a little bit of like kind of like random encounterness, I guess, to have those moments where you need to either pivot or you're rewarded for this, you know, risk or whatever. But you know the game Scythe, right?
Oh, yeah, I know the game Scythe.
Yeah. So in Scythe, you move a little marker around a tableau or a little, you know, player mat in order to designate what turn you want to do. It's got a top row of action and a bottom row of action. The top row of action you can always do, essentially, as long as you have enough cost or whatever. And then the bottom row action are more of like the powerful things where you spend the resources to cash in to get something out. So I think just to try and throw out some possible turns, you've got research, you've got marketing, you've got advertising, and then you've got transport. I don't know.
It's got to be stocking. I think that's all right. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm imagining for every single one. Oh, you go ahead. You finish your thought. Sorry.
I was just going to say, every turn you move a marker around, and obviously doesn't have to be those exact 4 that I said, but you move a little marker around to designate what action you're going to take. So if I do marketing, let's say that the marketing action, you can cash in 1 coin to draw cards from a stack or something like that, and then I get, you know, either my chemicals or a shampoo bottle or whatever. And then maybe the bottom action for that is that you can cash in ingredients and such if you meet all of the qualifications of having something, and then you create a product, your shampoo, from those things. And so from that, maybe you can cash in more coins from the higher, or from the top action, to get higher tier products. And then maybe again you can cash in more products or different tiers of products to draw from different decks of what your product's going to be.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I think once like all the cards, like let's say I did just 1 coin to get, you know, some cheap products like a couple of times, and I got and I guess maybe even like knowing what the decks are, I'm imagining like a ton of decks of cards.
There's
all
a lot
about this table.
Yep, there's a ton.
Yeah, lots of different decks. So I draw one from like the cheap products, I draw one from like the cheap bottling, and then I draw one from like the cheap, I guess, wrapping advertising thing. And it's just, you know, it's a very like beige bottle with a, you know,
it's just a mason jar. and it just says,
yeah, it's just a
it says hair soap on it.
Make hair clean. And that's yeah. the tagline. But again, I cash in these, like, I don't know, three cards that are each, we'll just call it like one power. I don't know. It's like all of a score of one, so I get a three tile as my product. And then when I do my transporting or stocking move, I can put my tile in one of the, you know, markets that I want to. And then, again, that would be kind of like going back to the sizes. The mom and pop shop, you know, you only need a three power product or whatever to put in there. But the big superstores, you need like a 10 or something yeah. crazy like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the only last thing, or at least, I don't know, it doesn't have to be this way, but the thing that I like in Scythe is that you can't do, well, I guess only one faction can do this, but that's just their specific thing, but you can't do the same move that you did in the previous turn. So that would be kind of how you would have to be like, okay, like, I have some products in my hand, I need to start, you know, marketing it so it's ready to go, but I want to make sure that, like, my transport, so it's almost like you're planning out your turns well in advance to make sure that you're, it's not just what you're doing, but it's the order that you're doing them that matters.
I agree with that. So you can figure out which way, if you want to get something out, like transport products before someone else, like, you can use that as your first turn, and then maybe someone else wants to use their first turn to do some marketing, but then they can't do marketing the next turn after that. They actually have to, like, pick another sort of action, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I like all of this stuff that you've put down so far. I think it all makes sense in terms of the world that we have. I mean, I'm just imagining, like, specific things. Like, each one of those things will influence different parts of your actual company itself for the shampoo. Like, if you're good at the stocking or what you say, like transport would definitely affect how many stores, like, you can actually ship it to, because that's a, like, mm-hmm. big part of getting it out there. You could have, like, the best product in the world, but, like, if you don't put anything in transporting, you're only going to be in one store and you're not going to make much money from it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I also think, or at least another asset, is that not only obviously the strength of your product, your shampoo, will dictate how much money you get back, but since we're saying, like, marketing and stuff like that, I think on each location there will be a tracker. Like, let's say I put my 3 shampoo in the mom and pop store and you put a 5 shampoo there, so even though, you know, you could even just say that you make it back that every turn, then you make 5 coins from your shampoo that's there and I only make 3. But if I did a marketing before, then maybe there's like a tier track on the side of the location that I can put a token on and say that since I marketed here, I have, you know,
oh, you got that recognition.
I have some kind of advertising that maybe gives me like either an extra 1 coin, or that I maybe my shampoo stays there longer, or like I don't have to transport there as much.
I'm thinking, yeah, there should be like billboards all around the city as well. And if you control a certain billboard, like, shops in that location have a better chance of, like, you maybe collect more money. But I will still say that, like, I'm going to say that when you stock something, you maybe will put a certain amount of tokens there, and every single round you will remove a token from your from that shop itself, and then you collect money from
yes.
it. But whenever you run out of tokens of that area, then you're out of stock at that area, and then you have to plan to reship another shipment there if you want to do that. And every single time that you start your turn, you always pick back up one of your tokens at every single place that you can, and you collect the money based on the tiers that it's at. But then you have to constantly think, like, maybe you only have to restock if you've got a whole fleet of trucks or whatever. You don't have to think about restocking as often as other people do, because then your shipments, maybe you'll just use like one of your turns to be like, okay, I'm just gonna like restock all these different things because my fleet of transportation is awesome. And then you don't have to worry about that for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 more turns. But, you know, once the store is out of spaces, then you can't collect any more money. You're just back to the passive income.
No, and I like that, because that also gives an asset, or at least another thing to kind of buy with the cards, that you can buy trucks so that, you know, maybe you primed yourself before you started shipping products out, but then, you know, if everybody else is out on the shelves and you're kind of slow to get there, you don't have to take as many transportation actions anymore, and you can just constantly be making product or, like, just getting new ingredients and all these different things to increase your stuff, because you've already, I guess, kind of, like, pushed your transport all the way to the highest tier that it could be.
Yeah.
And then that just kind of passively happens for you. Ooh. And you can place your stuff wherever.
You know what?
One thing.
Oh, yeah. You go ahead first and then.
Okay. I was going to say, because I really loved that you said the billboards. Totally forgot about that. But I think a really fun asset to kind of tweak the billboards or add this little variation is that, so yeah, we've got different locations with the different shops and all that stuff. I think billboards cross territories. So imagine, like, we have just do some, or like, you know, like squares. You've got four squares, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, in a big square, and then each square has four different shops in it, so 16 shops total. Maybe there's a billboard in only two locations that reach all of these shops, one on, like, in between the right two squares, and then one between the left two squares.
I see. So it's like overlapping areas.
Yeah, you can influence multiple areas, so there's crossover of what it is, or at least of markets that you touch.
That's a good idea. I like that. I was also thinking, in order to have a billboard, that does cost a fee to keep it up.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's kind of an incentive only for those who are making premium products, because, like, you would never put a billboard up if, like, for a product that is not paying the bills to actually have the billboard there. Like, you can definitely go the route for, like, the cheap stuff, but, like, you would never put up a billboard because then you're just losing money.
Yeah. Come buy clean hair. It's hair cleaning.
Come get the hair soap. It's soap for your hair.
The hair soap.
Who would have thought?
Who done it? It's the hair, people. We did it.
We did it. We think about your hair, and we're worried about you.
Do we
want to
add even more? Like, maybe you can't afford a billboard ad, but, and again, it would honestly work perfectly to kind of boil it down to a smaller area that you're influencing, but it would still be influenced nonetheless. You could do a bench ad.
Yeah. Like the bus ad. Yeah.
Yeah. You could do, or, you know, we could call it just kind of like one of those bus glass panes that is there.
Oh, shoot. What if there's the final, tier, and if you spent all of your money in advertisement, is that you got a plane to fly over with your product's name? And it just says,
it's basically a Goodyear blimp.
Yeah. Yes. That's it. You have a Goodyear blimp that's hovering over the entirety of this city. It just says your product's name.
Yeah.
It is very expensive, but if you've got a really good product, you can keep that blimp up there.
Yeah. And really, really show everyone Sudsy for all he's worth.
I was thinking as well that I think the highest tier of shops to get into should be like a hair salon, but like the highest grade of like...
That's a good
one. Yeah, like one of those hair salons that people spend like 1 to 2 hours in, and they also get like a beer or like a wine. But that's like, I don't know, level 20 shampoo and whatever, where it's like super expensive to buy, but you get like a lot of return on it whenever someone does go to it. So
an aspect of games that I really love is when the currency is also the points. I think scoring in this game, the end result is, I mean, like your empire of how much it's worth, you know, if you buy a bunch of trucking, you know, things like, or the blimp, if you have that at the end of the game, that should obviously be worth a certain amount of points.
Yeah.
But I think also the coins that you keep at the end of the game can be, count towards your score.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
everything that you have accumulated is what you get, but not no cards. Cards in hand, you had to spend them in order to make them count.
Yeah, I do think that we should have, like, at the end of the game, everything should be totaled up. Like, how many park benches was your thing on? How many billboards did you have? How many blimps did you have in the air? In addition to, like, how many patents of bottles did you come out with? Like, every single thing is calculated into one sort of final score. Like, the big part of it is, like, obviously getting out a product, and, like, money would be, like, a big aspect of it. But obviously you're spending that money to get through the game itself. But, you know, it is to see who basically had, like, the largest shampoo empire within this city there.
Oh, shampoo empire.
We can come up, if you're suggesting that for the name, we should, I'm thinking of like Shampire or something, you know, we got to come up with something better than Shampoo Empire.
What about something like Rinse Lather Profit. Repeat. Oh.
That's pretty good. I might have clipped the mic there with that.
That's okay.
Rinse. Wait. Lather, rinse, profit, repeat.
Oh, yeah. You lather first. Which is kind of foolish when you... I'm just going to say this about shampoo right now. If your hair isn't wet, you can't lather. Wait, isn't it rinse, lather, repeat?
No, because rinsing, it means as you're taking it off.
No, I know, but hold on a
second. It's lather, rinse, repeat. If you want to add the extra stuff, wet your hair, lather.
I'm not going to have another Reuben gate.
Apply shampoo, lather it. It's lather, rinse, repeat. I'm pretty sure on this one.
Directions for shampoo.
I'm just looking up lather, rinse, repeat. Yeah, it's lather, rinse, repeat.
But if your hair isn't wet, how can you lather?
It's assumed when you're in the shower, your hair is going to be wet. Look, I get it.
I guess.
I get it when you include an instruction on there. I need
explicit instructions.
I know. When the instruction on there says repeat, you are kind of thinking of your consumer as being the dumbest of the dumb if they can't figure out how to...
When to stop?
Yeah, exactly. I'm stuck at rinse. When do I turn the shower off? I agree.
I rinse, but I think, and then I repeat. So I lather my hair, and then I rinse, and then I repeat. So I lather my hair, and then I rinse.
There's actually a Wikipedia article on lather, rinse, repeat.
Lather, rinse, repeat. Oh, they used it. They included a as needed in there. That's probably because of
needs additional citation. I'm just going to take a picture of the back of the shampoo bottle and be like, see, it's right here. See, here it is.
Someone didn't stop, and then the shampoo companies were held liable.
See, also hair washing. That is pretty much the same, yeah. Yeah, no, so, I mean, we could do lather, rinse, profit, repeat.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad we got to the bottom of this before angry tweets came at us.
Yeah. Stop adding us.
Don't even bother. Don't even shampoo freaks.
you clean freaks.
Yeah, I was about to say nasty or something, but
they're the opposite of nasty.
They'd probably have long silken Fabio hair.
Probably all gorgeous, and I'm proud of you for that.
That's true. Yeah, we'll give you that one. All right. Well, I guess we kind of jumped to title, but do you want to do any more mechanics? I think this is pretty good. Do we want to add in a dice roll somewhere? Because I'm coming around to it where there's that moment that maybe it is when if you mark it to a store, whatever, and I mark it to it as well, we both roll dice, and maybe it isn't as random. Maybe the amount of dice that you roll for the spots come down to either like if you've been marketing to this store before and the power of your product. Like if I have a 10 power shampoo but you have a 15 power shampoo, you're gonna roll more dice in order to try and get that top spot of marketing. But you know, again, who knows how the market's gonna go. Maybe I just get more successes on my dice than you.
Yeah,
and that's how I think that that's goes.
It yeah, it's gotta be. If okay, so say you have the situation where there's multiple shampoos in one sort of store and maybe there's like a mm-hmm. sale going on. I do agree that maybe it's about the amount of stock that there is plus the amount of like the star power behind the shampoo against like how much stock is in of like, I don't know, like of the other versus shampoo that there is in the star power. I don't really know. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's some. I agree. There should be some sort of factor like that, but I can't really think of it as in a clean way, pun intended, right now.
I think it would just be kind of just, you know, some kind of mechanic. Again, we don't have to get into the exact nitty gritty, but it would be about exactly like you're saying, how much stock you're bringing, how, you know, premium your stock is. Oh, if again, like if I'm trying to bring like a really premium Au Naturel shampoo to a superstore, but they want, you know, just some very quickly made, just like cheap and easy shampoo ready to go, and you're bringing that, since you satisfied that, you know, market need, you get an extra, you know, however many dice in the contended role between you and I.
Okay, so
stuff like that adds up to how many dice you roll. But again, the dice, you know, might not be in your favor, and that, you know, even if I roll more dice, if I get less successes, you take the top spot in marketing in that.
Okay.
Or for the round or whatever.
I do like that. Yeah, that's a good... I can accept that then. And then for like the next maybe like just one round there, that person then claims more money, or like they take a token away, but they actually get like more money than the other person who also has to take a token away.
Yeah, I think it would be like at the end, as to not bog down the game too much. But we're probably looking at a pretty long game at this point.
Good. I want this to be rounds. Excessively long.
Perfect. This is basically, we're just basically creating a full-time shampoo job, or at least like production job, but that's perfect. That's what we're going for.
You can put this on your resume by the time you're done with this game and be like, I'm ready to actually go into business because I know what to do.
I'm actually a senior marketing agent at this point.
Yeah.
So
I got all the logistics down.
I'm thinking that, like, yeah, at the end of everyone's turns, whenever they take their actions of creating product, drawing product, researching, shipping, marketing, whatever they want to do for that round, at the end of everyone's turn, there is, like, a, I don't know, market phase, I guess we'll call it, where you roll to see who's the top, you know, shampoo, or who's the top product at certain stores, the, you know, payout for being on advertising in certain areas, where your shipping can go, kind of, you know, the results and conclusions of the actions that you did. Everyone gets their money, and then repeat as needed.
Yeah, repeat. That's in the title of it.
Yeah, perfect.
Cool. Well, yeah, I think this is all pretty much said and done. Now just up to the actual designers to get the nitty gritty down.
Oh, but who goes first?
Oh shoot, who goes first? How could I forget?
Yeah,
who goes?
The most important detail.
Yeah. I know that this isn't shampoo related, but I was thinking that if you've ever made your own soap, because I know that's a really popular trend. Not something I've done. If you bring your own homemade soap, then you can go first. If no one else brings a homemade soap.
But you have to have enough for everyone.
Yeah, if you don't have enough to share, just don't even bring it.
Yeah, exactly. I think another good one, and I think bringing your own soap, bringing your own homemade thing, because, you know, that's just charitable at that point.
Yeah.
That's the top spot.
Just a nice person.
But further down, maybe there's one where, like, out of all of the ingredients, because I'm imagining that we're going to reference, you know, exact shampoo ingredients, you flip one over and everyone tries to pronounce it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And then you reference maybe the internet, or maybe we include like a little speech box that will, you know, say the words. I guess if you just press a different button on it,
every single one of these games words. Has a tape recorder that says exactly how to pronounce every single ingredient.
Exactly. And whoever got the closest, and you know, you can kind of vote on our system of who you think got the closest to the pronunciation, and bing bang boom, you go first.
I do like that one. Yeah, and it's got to be like the cards are flipped down and then you have to flip them up at all like the same time and try to pronounce whatever word is there. And sometimes you can get lucky, sometimes you can get the one that just says aqua on it, because that is one of the ingredients that the only one that I've remembered from the shampoo bottle I was reading just says aqua, which God knows only what that is.
Shampoo ingredients. Oh, whoa. Google search. Shampoo ingredients to avoid. Shampoo ingredients that cause hair loss. Shampoo ingredients to avoid hair loss. Shampoo ingredients that cause acne. Shampoo ingredients to avoid during pregnancy.
Mm.
How dangerous are these products?
I mean, there's a lot of chemicals in there, and I imagine that scares a lot of people. You know, some people look at the back of a shampoo box or shampoo thing and they get scared. For me, I think of one, I look at it and I think of an entire board game. You know, it's just, there's less people thinking about board games these days.
Yeah, you weren't lying. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Ready to hear some?
Yeah.
These are just the types of ingredients, but yeah. Surfactants.
Okay.
Like, surface, but throw the E away and then add T-A-N-T-S to the end.
Okay.
Surfactants. Foaming agents. Conditioners. Thickeners. Very easy. Opacif- opacifiers. Opacifiers. Sequestering agents. Preservatives, additives, and such. And then here we go. Some thickeners of cetyl alcohol.
Oh, so you know, this is what you need to find. You need to look up shampoo chemicals. Ammonium lauryl sulfate. Sodium laureth sulfate. Parabens. Yeah. Polyethylene glycols. That's a hard one.
You ready? You ready for this one? And I'll send it to you. Methylisothiazolinone.
Yeah, sure.
Ready?
Love that one.
Let me share.
Diethanolamine, trithanolamine, cocamidiporapilbetaine. Oh my god, that one's insane, actually.
wait, let me see that
okay,
one.
Okay, I'm gonna send this to you. Oh man, yeah, yours is crazy.
Cocamidopropyl. That sounds like the word just stopped. It was just like, that's too long. That's
cut it off
cocamidopropyl, and then betaine.
Yeah, yeah. See, and these are all the fun ingredients that you can be harvesting in our game here.
Yeah. Dehydroacetic acid. That one's not too bad. There's formaldehyde in shampoo. Oh man.
Well, that's one to avoid.
Hexachlorophene. Oh yeah, that's not too bad. Oh, here we go. Here's
all right, last one. Ones.
Sodium lauryl methyl isothionate.
Mmm. Love that stuff. Get that all up in my hair.
That's the good stuff.
Well, cool. I think this is a good rule to include for who goes first. For our lather. Wait, what was it? Now, lather, rinse, profit, repeat.
Rinse, profit, repeat. Yeah.
Nice.
Perfect. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming along on this journey of lots of economies, long words, and most importantly, Sudsy, our new favorite character. Prepare to see him on the box art. He's going to be everywhere. Going to be a big splash hit, pun intended.
He's going to be in your local stores and board game stores.
Yeah, exactly. Everywhere. If you enjoyed this episode, as I assume you would, please share us with your friends. We really enjoy, or at least we really appreciate the word of mouth. It really, really helps us. It helps get the word out about this and about our little project that we're doing that we enjoy so much to provide for you all. As we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you can reach us at Twitter at PatchPotchRND, and for any professional inquiries at PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com, and to spell it out, it is PATCHPOTCH. Any last remarks?
No, just, yeah, no word spreads better than coming straight from someone's mouth, so please do give us a holler, give us a shout, we always appreciate it. And
yeah.
As far as sign-offs go, is that my turn? Do I have to do a sign-off?
I don't remember who did it. I don't know. Do you got one ready? Because I kind of have an idea, but I might struggle.
Is it shampoo related? Because it should be.
Somewhat.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh no. Wait, I can't think of a conclusion to it. Oh god, I'm struggling. I'm collapsing under the pressure.
All right, well, thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.